like to introduce our first speaker. I've had the pleasure of hearing him several times over the years. He's always got a great message. With that, I'll give you Gordon Jay from the Let's Reason Together group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Pasadena area.
Hi, everyone. My name is Gordon Jay. It's always a privilege, honor, and I consider it a blessing to speak in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting or Narcotics Anonymous function. Well, 11 and a half years ago, nobody ever wanted me to do anything. So this is a true honor. Courage to change. I was talking to my sponsor the other day, and I was telling him some of the things that I was going through in the last week or so. And I said, man, you know I got to go up there in the mountains and speak on the courage to change. And he just started laughing. And change is always difficult for me. I don't know about nobody else. I get real, like, antsy. You know, like, I remember coming in here and in the program Narcotics Anonymous, and they used to say something like, I used to say, well, what do I have to change? And they say, everything. And that was real frightening. And all I could do was just not take any dope. And I know it was about creative change of old ideas, attitudes, and behaviors, and all that stuff that we talk about. And as time went on, things started being revealed to me, and started realizing, damn, man, I had to do some real serious changes. And just to bring you up to date just a little bit about, you know, the situation a couple of weeks, the organization that I work for is going out of business, right? And when I first got into this organization, I thought that this was going to be a lifelong thing. I was going to be secure. You know, one guy came up to me the other day, and sometimes we can be real cruel, right? Guy came up to me and said, the duck that laid the golden egg is dead, or something like that, right? And he don't know how that really made me feel, right? But what was happening was, it was an internal change. It wasn't so much the external change that was going on. It was the internal change that was going on with me. Because I got to this comfortable spot in life, right? And it takes courage to change. And now the people are kind of like telling us, well, we don't know if you're going to have a job and blah, da, 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 da. And it's all crazy. And I'm going to meetings on a daily basis, and I'm listening to everything, and everything is making sense. Because when I'm going through stuff, I don't care what I hear, it makes sense to me. I can make it fit to my situation. And just the other night, I was in a meeting, and the topic came up, the courage to change. And I am never confused about how this works in my life. I'm not confused how my higher power works in my life. Because a lot of times, like, I can really give you the message, and I can tell you what to do and how to do it, and da 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 da. But when it comes to telling myself, it's real hard. So that's why it's important that I come into meetings and I listen to learn, and I learn to listen. And I'm here to tell you, everybody that got up and shared on that topic was talking about work problems. I said, now this is not a coincidence. So, it had me so internally upset. You know, they say that this disease of addiction manifests itself in all areas of our lives, and I still suffer from low self-esteem in some areas, right? Sometimes I still think that I'm not worthy. Sometimes I think that it's just not going to work out. It's always impending doom. I'm always looking at the negative of stuff, right? And in spite of people telling me, Gordon, you come a long way. You're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. That low self-esteem will still raise its ugly head and tell me, no, You'll be homeless. You'll be penniless. And I've been that in recovery. I've been homeless, penniless, in recovery. And so that kind of, fear sets in. And even though people are telling me that you're going to be all right, there's something inside of me. It talks about it in our literature that says the self-destructive nature. There's something inside of me that keeps crying out for failure. It keeps wanting to set me up, telling me that I'm not going to measure up. You just don't measure up, in spite of the evidence. But what recovery tells me, the last 11 and a half years, and that's my point of reference. My point of origin is like from the drugs all the way up to Narcotics Anonymous, right? But my point of reference is from January the 15th of 1991. That's what I go by. I try to. And every now and then it sneaks over into all the choir and the quagmire and all that stuff that I did before I got here. That tells me I'm still that guy. Our literature tells us that we have to learn that we are not the disease. It's just something that's a part of us. And I want to think that nothing's going to ever go right. So the change comes in by changing my perspective. The change comes in by telling myself that it's all right. It's all right. You know, I sat and I prayed like they wanted us to put in some applications because this is hospital. And we're going from a transition from one hospital to another hospital, right? And I've been with these people almost 6 years now, so I'm kind of set in. I'm kind of dug in. I kind of know what to expect and all this. Now we're going over to this other hospital. And when I walk into the room, in my imagination, I walk into the room with all these other people. I don't know these people. And they're, oh, here's the application. Just sign this, right? And I felt so inadequate. I felt so insecure in spite of what people was telling me. In spite of it, my supervisor told me, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Other people all throughout this field that I work in has been telling me, don't worry about it, Gordon, you got a spot. But this insecurity, this low self-esteem, it keeps popping up, tells me, don't believe that. Don't believe that. What makes you think that anybody really cares? And those are the kind of internal battles that I go through. Thank God for sponsorship. Thank God for support groups and my sponsors and all that kind of stuff. Because I run it by them. I let them know where I'm at. I don't set myself up like I'm all that. I'm some kind of God and all. No, no, no. They'll call me and they'll start telling me about their stuff. And I say, yeah, that's a drag. Pray, but check this out. And I start telling them about me. Just to let them know that, hey, it's all right. It's all right. We're going to get through this regardless of how you feel and what you think. And sure as hell, Friday, I filled out the application. It was like I was having an out-of-body experience. You know, that kind of stuff, like, this is not me doing this, right? And I'm just doing it, and I'm doing it. Got through it. No sooner I hand the application in, boom, all the pressure was relieved. I felt so much better. Felt like a burden was lifted, the whole bit. But I had burdened myself with this, with my thinking. My thinking, once again, is out to destroy me. It is out to kill me. So, just for today, I'm getting a better perspective on my life. I'm trying to change some things. I'm trying to change the way I look at stuff. You know, I'm trying to change the way I look at stuff because I always look at stuff in the negative. Where are you going? I'm already shut down. running off into the sunset. But I love this program. I don't know, the courage to change, it never ceases to amaze me. If I look in the Serenity Prayer, and I get a lot out of that prayer, my sponsor used to tell me early on, he said, say that prayer whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not. I was reading an affirmation that Thursday before I had to put the applications and all that stuff, and it said, keep it simple tomorrow. Everything was just coming right in play. All the stuff that I've learned early on, for some reason or another, seems like when you be around here a while, it seems like you kind of forget that stuff. I think that's why it's important to have a sponsor. That's why it's important to sponsor people. It's why it's important for us to still go to meetings. Meetings still make sense to me. Because sometimes I forget, keep it simple. Quit making a mountain out of a molehill. You ain't that important. All that kind of stuff. I forget that sometimes. So that's that low self-esteem, pride and image and ego and all that stuff starts coming into play. You know, I start thinking about, you know, everything that can go wrong. And I go there. I go there. And I think that's the self-destructive nature of this disease that keeps wanting me to go on that side. And, you know, just to destroy myself. You know, it's not paying off. Why am I here? You know, I was doing better out in the street, which is a lie. But my head will tell me that. You know what I mean? So I'm changing. I'm changing every day. I'm accepting the things I can't change. I can't change the hospitals going out of business. You know what I'm saying? But I can change my perspective on it. The courage to change the things I can. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to come in here and try and recover. It don't take no courage for me to go out there and get high. I know that one very well. I can do that one. I don't do it successfully, but I can do it. It takes a lot of courage to come in here and tell you guys just what's going on. I ain't talking about the thrilling days of yesteryear anymore. I'm talking about what's going on in the here and now, because that's what we're recovering, the here and now. So I don't know. Like I say, it's always an honor. It's always a privilege. And I'm going to turn this over, I guess, to Kent. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Gordon. I don't know the next gentleman that's about to speak, but I know he gave me a great hug when I introduced myself to him, and that speaks volumes. I would like to introduce Jackie Kay from the God of Our Understanding group, which is also in the Pasadena area.
Ooh, my name is Jackie, and I'm an addict. Just give me one quick second here to get out of the way and let the creative spirit of God of my understanding to come in and get involved in this meeting. Let's just invite him in just for a moment. Thank you. I was trying to figure out how to best attack this subject, because with me, I always attack things. You know what I mean? I never go into anything quite willingly. I have to be pushed because I too suffer from low self-esteem. I get pushed so far into the corner that I ain't got no other place to go. So I come out of that corner attacking. So that's what I've learned how to do. So in the process of trying to get some clarity on how I should approach this, another gentleman that's speaking up here asked me to help him with his doing his talk and giving him some suggestions. So what I told him was, just talk about your experience, strength, and hope. Light bulb went off in my head. You know what I mean? Talk about your experience, strength, and hope. Courage to change. Before I knew it, as a young man, a very, very young man, I was in a situation, in the family situation, where my mother was being abused. I myself was being abused. And the situation was such that it tore me apart, scared me to death. I had a lot of fear, and I wanted to do something about it. And I didn't think I had the energy, the strength, or the power to do anything about it. So when I finally got the nerve to say something about it, I got crushed by this adult. So I'm relating courage to the ability to have some strength. You know what I mean? To somehow or another, get the strength to overcome the fears that I have been experiencing and do something about those fears. Okay? Courage, that's what courage has been symbolized in my life as. To change, that's another thing I've come to learn in Narcotics Anonymous through the teachers of Narcotics Anonymous, through my sponsor, through the people that are in my support group, that change comes slowly over a period of time. And what I've been able to garnish through that is that my perception has a lot to do with whether or not I'm in the process of change or do I have the willingness to change and move forward in another direction. If I perceive things are okay, I'm not changing anything. If I perceive that things are pretty much going pretty much smoothly, I don't have to do a whole lot of work, I'm not changing anything. But what I found out was that if the pain gets great enough for me, that's when change occurs for me. I can remember back in 96, being in the Allegheny County Jail. By the way, my clean date is July 23rd, 1997. I can remember being in the Allegheny County Jail, and I had this perception about people who have mental health problems. I had this real, crazy idea that these people were crazy, and that these people, had lost control of their mental faculties. You talk about depression, hey, that's crazy. I know that wasn't me. However, I went down to the Allegheny County Jail in 1996, and the God of my understanding knows best. I went through this terrible bout with depression. I didn't know what to do. I had no idea who to talk to. I had no idea who to turn to, and I was caught up in a situation where you couldn't move around that well. So I followed the steps and suggestions that people gave me. Put some requests into the medical department. See if you can talk to one of the counselors or the therapists there. 2 weeks went by. Nobody talked with me. Now, this depression is eating me up. Because here I am a pretty successful young man, had a pretty stable job, doing the right things. But I made some wrong turns down that road. Got caught up in the grips of a disease that was cunning and baffling, and couldn't find my way out. A good friend of mine, I didn't know the gentleman then, but he helped me get into a treatment facility. Went through the treatment facility, however, relationships are what relationships are, and I relapsed. Ended up in the Allegheny County Jail. This depression was on me so tremendously that I didn't know what to do about it. So after these people wouldn't come to me and talk to me about what was going on, the third week, someone came down from the medical department, and they began to sit down and talk to me about my problem. But he kind of like set the stage up for what he could do and what he couldn't do. When he called me into this little room that they have down in the Allegheny County Jail where you talk to the lawyers and all those types of people, he brought me in that room. He said, look, let me tell you something. If you don't want to take any medications, you don't need to talk to me. I don't have time. My caseload is filled up. I don't have time to talk to you. So do you want some medication? I said, no, I don't want any medication. All I need to do is talk because I'm filled up. I need for somebody to hear what I'm saying. Just listen to me. He didn't want to hear me. So he refused to let me even talk to him. So I got some acceptance with that, went back to my cell, and I got down on my knees and I began to pray. I began to pray so hard, I began to cry. I cried for so hard and for so long, I fell asleep. And something happened to me in that stupor. You know, something happened to me, I don't know if it was miraculous or even on the category as being miraculous, but something happened to me. And it was like I was laying in that bed watching this transformation occur. You ever see Star Trek when they say beam me up, Scotty, and this like little bubbles and stuff come up? I saw something similar to that coming up through my feet, all the way up my legs, all the way through my whole entire body. I don't know what it was. But I know that a certain kind of peace came over me that day I had never experienced my whole life since then. A certain peace. And I was in jail. I was in jail, and the only thing I needed was $100 to get out. I couldn't get out of jail. I stayed in jail for 6 months. Couldn't get out. But this peace that came over me at this time kind of like gave me the assurity that everything was going to be all right. I didn't have any money. Nobody wrote me because I had not been long. I'm a transplant from Philadelphia, so I had not been long in Pittsburgh. Okay? So I didn't know a whole lot of people. Didn't have no money. Didn't know how to get no money. So what happened was the guys on the pod, every time they would get commissary, they would come to my cell and just drop stuff off to me. They would give me toothpaste. They would give me soap. They would give me candy bars. Anything I needed while I was down at that jail I had. Somebody was looking out for me, or something was looking out for me, because that's when I began my road to recovery in that jail. Okay? Now, when I got out of that jail, there was somebody that met me at the front door. I was homeless. I had just got out of a relationship. I was homeless. And what I had on when I went to that jail was a pair of shorts, cut off jeans, because it was in the summer when I went in. When I got out, it was winter. And I had a t-shirt on. Person met me at the jail, took me to a place, gave me an apartment, and shortly thereafter gave me a job. I've been with that person ever since. I've been working this job ever since. This job has taken me all the way to Washington, D.C. I've been doing a whole lot of things that I thought I'd never be able to do in my whole entire life. An addict like me, to somebody to trust me with giving somebody else some guidance, I never thought it possible. So the change part, my perception, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? All right? The glass has always been half empty all my life. It's always been half empty. It ain't never been quite enough. Today, the glass is half full because I changed my perception about my life. You know what I mean? And that was something that took place on three basic levels in my life. It took place, first of all, my physical level, because I stopped doing people, places, and things. Secondly, it took a part on my emotional level, because I stopped allowing certain situations to influence my behavior. Thirdly, it took place on a spiritual level, because I began to actually allow God, the God of my understanding, to have some say in my life and not trying to do a whole lot of self-willing. Needless to say, by me doing that, I'm not humiliated anymore, because I equated being humble with being humiliated, because that's how I was getting it when I was young. I was really getting humiliated. You know what I mean? And so when I heard the word humble, I always associated that with being humiliated. And that's what I had gotten all the way up until I turned 14 years old. And when I turned 14 years old, I had to leave my home. I didn't leave it willingly. I was forced out, like I told you in the interim. I always struggled out of the corner. And I left home ducking a brick, because my stepfather was throwing a brick at me when I was running out the back door. And I lived on the streets ever since I was 14 years old. I'm just trying to qualify myself by saying this. So I had a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of hatred. And that took me to a lot of places. You know, I involved myself with a whole lot of shady characters. I did a whole lot of terrible things to people. I mean, I hurt a lot of people in my act of addiction. But thank the God of my understanding for Narcotics Anonymous, I got a lot of love today. I have a whole lot of love today. And I am so, so grateful. I am so grateful that I attempt on every day of my life to try to share that with another human being. Because I know that you can be a Democrat, you can be a Republican, you can be a Christian, you can be a Muslim, you can be a Catholic, you can be an agnostic. That doesn't matter. What matters is how can I help you? That's what matters to me. And I'm not saying any of this to get any data boys on my back. I'm doing this because this is what I believe. Because the God of my understanding has brought me from a mighty long way. He blessed me with this understanding. And I'm trying to share it with the next man who's still suffering, or the woman who's still suffering. Okay? So the courage to change means two dynamic things for me. Strength and perception. Strength and perception. Courage to change. And with these two things, I can begin to see things in a different manner. I don't see my father as the person who left me and left me vulnerable so that another person can enter my life and treat me like a piece of dung. I don't see my father like that today. I've allowed myself to forgive him. You know what I mean? And through me forgiving my father, God has allowed some joy and some happiness to creep into my life. I know how that works today. Through me forgiving me for hurting some people, for hurting my mother, for hurting my sisters and my brothers, because you know you hurt the ones that's close to you. You hurt the ones that love you. And I hurt them people. And I asked them to forgive me. You know what I mean? And asked God to forgive me for hurting these people. And then I had to forgive myself. That's the most important thing, the most important knowledge that I come across, that I have to forgive me. After I did my personal inventory, and I'm still doing it, I do it constantly, doing a more fearless inventory, I find out that I need to forgive me. You know what I mean? I can ask you for forgiveness all day long. But there's no changes going to occur in my behavior and my attitudes unless I begin to forgive me. I have to get to the point where I can forgive myself. You know what I mean? Because my recovery starts and ends with me. It doesn't start and end with you. It starts and ends with me. You know what I mean? And how I'm living. You know what I mean? And what I'm saying out of my mouth and how I'm qualifying myself through my actions and my daily living. I can get up on this podium and say stuff and dazzle you with a lot of fancy footwork. But how am I living? How am I treating the next human being? How much do I open myself up in vulnerable situations, taking risks, you know what I mean, to love and to hug you? Okay? Because that's what the NA program tells me to do. And how much am I willing to do that? You know? I know that I have to evolve on all levels, not just with not picking the drug up, but I got some real nasty behaviors. And guess what? That ain't even the worst of it. I got some real nasty thought processes. You know what I mean? Because more than one time, murder has come across my mind. More than one time. More than one time, suicide has come across my mind. More than one time, promiscuous behavior has come across my mind. You know what I mean? And I know that stuff is dangerous. You know, so if I don't change on all of those levels, I have to. And I have to work on them fearlessly. And I need your help and I need your support, you understand me, to give me the positive critique that I need in order to change some things. Because sometimes I can get delusional and think I got it going on, that everything is all right. I can do that. And I need you to kind of like mirror that thing back to me. Like, look, Jack, hey, man, look, that thing that you're doing ain't cool. You can help me with that. You have my permission. I give you that permission to help me because I do love this program. And I am appreciative for what this program has given me. It has given me my life. It has truly given me my life. Because when I was out there in active addiction, I was working on dying. I was working on dying on a daily basis. I was committing suicide on the installment plan and loved it. You know, just like the depression, I had to get to a critical juncture where it was more important for me to get help than for me to continue in the suffering. You know, I had to get to that crossroads. You know what I mean? I'm the guy that you have to push in the corner before you do something. But when I do get pushed in the corner, I come out in a rage. You know what I mean? I come out in full force. It's just like putting a rat in the corner and putting a metal pot and heating the pot. He's biting through that pot trying to get through biting through the wall trying to get through the wall. That's me. Okay? But as I grow and as I develop in this program, as I evolve in this program, that's not who I'm becoming to be. And I know that with some more work, with some more time with my sponsor, with some more support from my support groups, and for people that really, really love me, that the beautiful person that my higher power has created me to be, I can continue to move to that. Because I know he has some more work for me to do. And I know if I stay in this journey, I'm going to continue to do his will. I have to get outside myself sometimes and attack things with my hands. But let me tell you something. I don't stay out there that long. I don't stay out as long as I used to. I'm always inside of here because I know that's where the work's at. I know this is where the work's at. So, in conclusion, let me say that my love for my life today has not always been this way. My love for drugs superseded anything imaginable that I could call life or call even a subsistence. But today I truly love myself. I truly love myself. You know what I mean? And I do, right today, I take baths on a regular basis. I brush my teeth regularly, comb my hair and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But there was a time when I didn't. But I truly love myself today. And it's through NA and the help of you people that I've come to that perception and I've made those changes. Thank you very much for allowing me to share.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we please have the reading of just for today?
Everybody, I'm Stan, I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I'll be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thanks, Dan. Okay, we have a nice way of closing, so we form a circle.